Okay, so we are in Genesis chapter 30. And verse 25, before we go over there, just want to remind you of where we are in the cycle with Jacob. So it starts back in chapter 29 when Jacob leaves the land and goes to Haran, fleeing his brother, and the threats of his brother Esau. So he goes into Haran, and then Laban outwits Jacob as far as the marriage to Laban's daughters go. First Leah, then Rachel. And then in the middle of that, this is the circumstances of the birth of Jacob's sons. You have the sister rivalry, and that's how you get 11 sons, one daughter, from two wives and two secondary wives, concubines. So that's the middle, and then it starts to work its way back out. That's where we're going to be tonight, where Jacob outwits Laban. With this passage, we have another chiasm. By the way, you're going to see a lot more of these, because not because I'm experimenting or anything, but I'm seeing the logic of it, and so even seeing it in Hebrews a little bit, so just to be forewarned. I don't know if I'll actually put it in the outline of chiasm, but it'll make me remember things a whole lot more. Anyway, so in this passage, we're going to go from Jacob being utterly penniless to coming out immensely wealthy. And then in between, he's going to bargain for some unborn rare animals and then see those rare animals born and become his flock. And in the middle is Laban removing all those rare animals, so that there's kind of a mirroring between those, the two outer sets, with in the middle Laban basically being sandwiched by what God ends up doing with Jacob's crazy schemes. So that's what we're going to be looking at tonight, and we're going to start in verse 25. And any questions about the overview, the review? No? Okay, good. We're all on the same page. Jacob's life with Laban. Okay. All right, I'm going to read through verse 43. As soon as Rachel had borne Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, "Send me away that I may go to my own home and country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, that I may go for you know the service that I have given you." But Laban said to him, "If I have found favor in your sight, I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Name your wages and I will give it." Jacob said to him, "You yourself know how I have served you and how your livestock has fared with me. For you had little before I came, and it has increased abundantly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I turned. But now, when shall I provide for my own household also?" He said, "What shall I give you?" Jacob said, "You shall not give me anything. If you will do this for me, I will again pasture your flock and keep it. Let me pass through all your flock today, removing from it every speckled and spotted sheep and every black lamb and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and they shall be my wages. So my honesty will answer for me later, when you come to look into my wages with you. Every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and black among the lambs, if found with me, shall be counted stolen." Laban said, "Good, let it be as you have said." But that day Laban removed the male goats that were striped and spotted, and all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, every one that had white on it, and every lamb that had that was black, and put them in the charge of his sons. And he set a distance of 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob. and Jacob pastured the rest of Laban's flock. Then Jacob took fresh sticks of poplar and almond and plane trees and peeled white streaks in them, exposing the white of the sticks. He set the sticks that he had peeled in front of the flocks in the troughs, that is, the watering places, where the flocks came to drink. And since they bred when they came to drink, the flocks bred in front of the sticks. And so the flocks brought forth striped, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob separated the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the striped and all the black in the flock of Laban. He put his own droves apart and did not put them with Laban's flock. Whenever the stronger of the flock were breeding, Jacob would lay the sticks in the troughs before the eyes of the flock that they might breed among the sticks. But for the feebler of the flock, he would not lay them there. So the feebler would be Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. Thus the man increased greatly and had large flocks, female servants and male servants, and camels and donkeys. All right, so what observations do you make?
Another deception.
Ooh, was it a deception, though? Why do you say it was a deception?
Might not have been it was just another scheme, I guess.
Okay, there's a scheme. All right. What part of the scheme? Or what part of it was a scheme?
The whole thing where Jacob made it look like they're all speckled and spotted and...
Well, he didn't make it look like that. They were born that way. Are you talking about the sticks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are speckled and spotted good or bad?
They're rare. So they're not necessarily, they're not bad. They're just not common. So the sheep are mostly going to be white. So a black sheep is going to be rare. And then the goats, as far as what's expected, speckled, spotted, multicolored would be another way to put it. The speckled and spotted.
Are they more valuable?
No, they're just, but it's clear. It's a clear way. It's exactly what Jacob says. If whatever looks like this, whatever looks different from the others, they belong to me. But they're the ones that are born. The first, starting with the ones that are born, not the ones that are already there. Those stay with Laban, and that's why he separates them out. But Jacob says, visually, you'll be able to come into my flock and see that all of them. Are the sheep and the goats are all multicolored. They're the rare ones. They're the ones that you don't expect. So now and Laban agrees to that because they're rare. A shepherd who wanted to strike out on his own usually could expect 20% of the flock. And so Laban's like, this is a great deal. There's no way there's going to be 20%. Of those rare animals.
So Laban wasn't scheming when he took all those.
So that's where Jacob says in verse 32, "Let me pass through all your flock today, removing." So there's an agreement about removing the speckled and the spotted sheep, the black lamb, the spotted and the speckled among the goats. There's agreement about removing them from the current flock.
Okay, then, and
such shall be my wages. They so that they shall be my wages. It's those kind, not those specific ones. So it's the ones that are born.
Okay.
So he says, "Let me remove these." Right, so they're not part of the picture. Let me remove them from the flock, and then Laban does it. So yeah, it does kind of read on the first Passover, like, wait a second, those were the ones that were supposed to belong to Jacob. But the reason why it's the ones that are born, not the ones that are already there, is because Jacob doesn't want anything from him.
Okay.
Right, he says. You shall not give me anything. But if he takes these already multicolored, well, then he's been given something. So yeah, this is, he's saying the rare ones are going to be my wages, not these ones.
So he's trusting God with that part, but why does he do the sticks then? Are the sticks making any difference?
So no, they don't. They're yeah. So no, there's actually a play on words there. And that's what I wrote here, and might as well do it here. So Laban's name is Laban, right? So, but in Hebrew, it's just the consonants Lbn. The word the word for poplar, so a poplar stick from a poplar tree, that word poplar shares the same consonants Lbn, all right? And then the peeling the sticks white. That also, the word white shares the consonants LBN. And so remember earlier that Jacob is, Esau says, Jacob is rightly called Jacob because he's a deceiver, right? He Jacobed me. Well, Jacob is Labaning Laban here. There's a play on words that says Laban's getting Labaned right now. So Jacob is outwitting him, but verse 30 is the key. So it's not because Jacob does this harebrained scheme that, like, he sets it up to where, like, the sheep and the goats, what they look at determines what they're going to breed, right? What color the breed is going to be. That's how he sets it up. But in verse 30, he's already said, the Lord has blessed you wherever I turned. The Lord's blessing is upon you because of me. And so this is the way that Jacob decides to carry this scheme of his out, to increase his wealth, to basically start a household as far as money goes. So another way to look at this is that he could have run those sheep and goats in circles, and they would breed the rare animals. Like, he's seeing how God blesses him. And so this is, whatever I say here, God is going to make that happen. He's not going to let Laban get the upper hand on me. He's going to bless me. So now Laban and Jacob are on opposite sides of this agreement. Laban gets what he wants, but Jacob knows that that's going to work out in his favor. Laban gets Jacob's services for another 6 years. And Jacob works that long, but then he becomes greater than Laban, right? So it's a harebrained scheme it's what he does. It doesn't say anything about, you know, Jacob did some research in this or whatever. He's been shepherding for a long time by this point, right? At least 14 years. And so he knows what he's doing. And he acted like he knew what he was doing all the way back when he came into Haran at the well, right? Like, now's not the time to be watering the flock. I mean, you need to do it then and not now and all that stuff. And so he's already, he knows a little bit of what he's doing. And I think that's what indicates, like, the next passage is going to say, the Lord bless me. Or when he gets back into the land, the Lord bless me. And so he's basically calling. He is acting in accord with what God said that he would do. He's going to protect him and he's going to bless him. He's going to increase him. And so he says, well, and this is the way I'm going to do it. So yeah, it's crazy and it works. Why? Not because that's how reproduction works, but because God blessed them. So now the other side, the other part of it, like the stronger the flock ended up belonging to Jacob, and the weaker to Laban. That works. You have two strong breeders. You're going to have better offspring, right? And so he works that out too. But yeah, it's
that makes seems like his harebrained scheme is working.
It does. It does. But it's just like in the previous passage with the mandrakes. Why is it that Leah conceives again? Not because of the mandrakes. It's because of the Lord. Why is it that Rachel ends up conceiving? Not because of the mandrakes. It's because of the Lord. And so why does Jacob increase here? Why does his wealth increase at the expense of Laban? Because of the Lord. What, with the strips?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. So it's how he sets it up is, it's like, it's dark and then white, and then dark and then white. And then, so it's like the, as mating is going on, they're seeing these stripes, and it's like, okay, stripes, 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 stripes. Anything else? So Moses, the author, doesn't tell us, but this is Jacob's harebrained way. I think he does the craziest thing possible.
He is deceiver, right?
He is deceiver. So
he's doing something to try to deceive, right?
I mean, he's scheming for sure, but he's not trying to deceive here because he says he puts his integrity on the line.
Right.
So he doesn't do anything that actually is outside of the agreement.
But let's pretend that he believes that this is working.
Mm-hmm.
If he sets up this deal and he thinks he has a way to manipulate the deal into his favor, he's carrying that out. That's deceptive. Yeah.
Not necessarily.
Smart business.
This is a business agreement. He doesn't have to disclose everything.
All right. Because he's not actually like, get that goat away. I don't want that goat. Like, he's putting down some
sticks,
man.
I wouldn't do business with someone like that.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. For sure not. Yeah, well, yeah.
Neither is Laban.
I'm not justifying anybody's actions.
But here, Jacob doesn't technically do anything wrong. He doesn't actually engage in any deception. He doesn't Jacob anybody.
I would like someone who has goats to put some sticks in their water and see what happens.
People have tried it before. It doesn't work. Like, it doesn't work.
Because it's the Lord doing it.
And so think of it in terms... So were you here the last time when we did the mandrakes? Okay, so Reuben, Leah's firstborn. So Leah is unloved by Jacob. Right, and she's ceased bearing, and for unknown reasons, she's ceased bearing. Reuben comes in from the field with mandrakes. Mandrakes are aphrodisiacs; they're fertility fruit, considered to be fertility fruit, and so this is gonna promote fertility. Reuben comes in, says, "Here, Mom, this is gonna be great because whatever, if Mom becomes loved for." Then Reuben will be the firstborn, like really considered the firstborn by Jacob. So then Rachel sees that, hey, the mandrakes have come in she knows what mandrakes are, what they do, what they accomplish. She has not had a child yet. She is not conceived yet. And she's frustrated by that. And she says, give me some of those mandrakes. And Leah's like, you took my husband? You're going to take my mandrakes? My son's mandrakes? What's the deal? And so they work out a deal. They barter for a night with Jacob. And Leah ends up giving the mandrakes to Rachel. But she gets to spend the night with Jacob. And Leah, without the mandrakes, is the one who gets pregnant. Later on, Rachel gets pregnant, and that's also without the mandrakes. And so both women they learn that it's the Lord who opens the womb. It's the Lord who blesses. So that story is like this. Like the mandrakes helping you get pregnant, crazy.
So Jacob is learning that lesson now.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
That makes sense.
And part of why that is because of, where is it? If you will do this for me, if you will do this for me, I will again pasture your flock and keep it. So verse 31, what this sounds like is what Jacob says, to God at Bethel. When God promises to protect Jacob, to preserve him, and to bless him while he's out of the land and to bring him back. And what Jacob says to God at Bethel in chapter 28, verses 20 and 21, this is in response to what God says in verse 15. What Jacob says in verses 20 and 21 is, I will do this if you will do that. Right? If you will indeed preserve me, if you will indeed protect me, then this is what I'm going to do. And so Jacob is here. This is said, what he says to Laban is basically word for word, or the sense of it is the very same thing that he said to God. And so, so this is Jacob basically knowing by this point that no matter what he does, he may be in a hard spot now, he has nothing, but no matter what he does, God's going to bless him. And so he's doing this. He could literally do anything and end up blessed. Don't you kind of want to be Jacob? Like, it's whatever harebrained scheme you have, you know it's going to work because the Lord's going to do it. He's going to redeem your scheme and bless you.
He's just up there like, sticks again.
The sticks again. Yeah. You guys should get some goats and test this out. See if it actually works. It won't work. Okay. Last call. Anything else? We've basically been through the whole passage at this point, but there's some good stuff.
I'm intrigued by verse 27. That Laban had interpreted an omen.
Yeah, I learned by divination. Yeah, this is difficult because if he's learned this by divination, like what you don't typically, if things are going good, you don't look into why they're going good. Like, I've learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. You didn't need divination. Like, look around, Laban. Things are great because, yes, the Lord has blessed you because of Jacob. Like, he's the common denominator in the increase of your wealth. So it's kind of weird. One way that some people try to deal with this is to say, this another sense for this word is become wealthy. I become wealthy. But if you look it up in a Hebrew English dictionary, this is the only verse. This is the only use of the word where it says become wealthy, which is really makes it really suspicious. Like, sounds like you're just making that up because you don't know what to do with the verse. But this does set up for later when the Lord appears to Laban and says, "Do not say anything good or bad to him." So it's more setting up for later, but it's also reflecting like Laban's in a tough spot. He has no more leverage over Jacob, and he knows that his success depends on Jacob sticking around, which works against him. Jacob sticks around, and he actually gets weaker. So my short answer to the divination, the omen or whatever omen or whatever it is I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. Okay, we good? We ready to go through this? Let's go. All right, so this first part of verse 25 through 30, Jacob, he's penniless, all right? So he's got nothing. But notice as soon as Rachel had borne Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, so this Rachel bearing Joseph is like a is an indication to Jacob. This is the turning point where we're coming back out of the chiasm that started with Jacob coming into Haran and is going to end with Jacob coming out of Haran, going back into the land. And so there's something about Rachel giving birth that, whether it's the time involved, that it's likely that this is where the 14 years are up. The 7 years of service for Leah another 7 years for Rachel. And so we're 14 years in. He's like, I'm done. I'm out of here. Send me away that I may go to my own home and country or land to go to my land. So remember, this land is the promised land, right? So he's believing promises that God has given to him. And then he says, give me my wives and my children for whom I served you, that I may go. Now that's kind of strange. Like they're his wives, and he served Laban for them. So why wouldn't they come with him? And then also the children. What do you think about that?
I think he had the right to do it, but that Laban could make it difficult for him.
Okay. Perhaps. You think of any other passages where a servant in the house can go free, but he doesn't get to take his wife and his children? Exodus. Yeah, Exodus. I think it comes up in Exodus 21. Exodus 21:3-6.
Having to do with whether or not they brought the wife or children into servitude.
Right.
Right. That.
Yeah. If the marriage happened while in the master's household, and the children were given birth to while in the master's household, then they belong to the master. They belong to the master's household. That may be in the background here. It likely isn't. So I just set you up for really nothing. Yeah. This is before then. But there may be a cultural custom with that. It's protection for the slave, but it's also protection for the. Master of the household. Regardless, these are his terms for him leaving. Give me my wives, my children, for whom I have served you. These two, so wives and children. Children are assumed to be part of it. So he served them. He served Laban for both of those groups, the wives and the children. So give them to me that I may go. For you know the service I have given to you. So this is, my job is done here. I've served you for 14 years, and this is it. Verse 27, but Laban said to him, if I have found favor in your sight. What is strange about that?
It's the opposite of what you'd expect.
Yeah, why?
Because he's the master talking to the servant.
Right, yeah. He's the one who's been holding all the cards up until now. And so he shouldn't be speaking this way. Like, he's speaking very politely and very, like Jacob is the greater between the two of them. So why does he do that? Well, it's showing us, it's saying Laban is caught off guard by this, and he has no more leverage over Laban or over Jacob. He doesn't know what to do. Okay.
So he's appealing to his grace.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I've learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. And that's strange. It's at the end of whatever is going on there. Like, why would you be, was this actually because of Jacob, or was it because of my own greatness that things have come about, that this kind of blessing from the Lord, you know, whatever was going on there, it's clear that he recognizes his prosperity hinges on Jacob and in his presence. So he says, name your wages and I will give it. So he's already said, give me, and then give. So Laban does not say anything about the wives or the children. He just says, name your wages and I'll give it. So he's playing coy. He's you know, being standoffish. He's stalling. That's what he's doing. He's stalling Jacob. So then verse 29, Jacob said to him, you yourself know how I served you and how your livestock has fared with me. For you had little before I came, and it has increased abundantly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I turned. So here, I think this you yourself know, I think that's a direct response to this. I have learned by divination. Like Jacob's like, I'm not playing your games anymore. You know exactly. Like, this is not because you had some kind of magical conversation with God, and now you know that you're blessed because of me. No, you can see it before your very eyes. The reason why you have increased is because of me. Now, you had little before I came. Jacob may be exaggerating there. But Laban definitely has more now after 14 years of Jacob's service than he had before. And so yes, the Lord has blessed you wherever I turn. So it all hinges on Jacob, wherever I have turned. But now, when shall I provide for my own household also? So Jacob's attention with the birth of Joseph has turned to his own house. His service for Laban is over. Now he's in it for himself. He's not serving Laban anymore. He needs to provide for his own. So Jacob's penniless, and he's working out a way to where he can he can provide for his family and increase, see some of that increase himself. So Laban said, "What shall I give you?" So again, going back to the wages, Jacob said, "You shall not give me anything." So this is surprising. He said, "Give me my wives and my children." And Laban has said twice, "Name your wages. What is this going to cost? What's this new agreement that we're going to be in?" And Jacob doesn't want a thing from Laban. And this is a key for what ends up happening with the flock. Don't give me anything. I don't want anything from you. And obviously the give and the give go together there. If you will do this for me, I will again pasture your flock and keep it. So these are the terms. And he's bargaining for these unborn rare animals. "Let me pass through all your flock today, removing from it every speckled and spotted sheep and every black lamb, and the spotted and speckled among the goats." So he's saying, take out the rare, so that only the solid colors are left. So any that are born from the solid colors that are rare, they belong to Jacob. They go to Jacob. All right. So Jacob is saying, here's what we're going to do. We're going to start off at zero, or I'm going to start off at zero, and it's going to be visibly apparent that I'm starting off at zero. And then he appeals to his integrity. So my honesty will answer for me later when you come to look into my wages with you. So it's going to be obvious where the wages stand as time goes on. Everyone that's not speckled and spotted among the goats and black among the lambs, if found with me, shall be counted as stolen. So there's a so the solid colors stay with Laban, and when so this would be in terms of that first before that first generation is born from these. How does this work? Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and black among the lambs, if found with me, shall be counted as stolen. So that goes into the future. So the rare animals belong to Jacob, the solid colors belong to Laban. And then Laban agrees to this. So Jacob bargains for the rare animals. Laban agrees to this, but then he goes off and does his some Labaning. But that day, Laban removed the male goats that were striped and spotted and all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, everyone that had white on it, and every lamb that was black, and put them in the charge of his sons. So who was supposed to do the removal?
Jacob
was. And now Laban has taken matters into his own hands. He doesn't trust Jacob. This, you know, when you live by deceit, you end up dying by deceit. I mean, he doesn't trust Jacob at all.
So ESV, I guess, that's ESV, right?
Yeah.
That day Laban removed. LSB just says, so he removed.
Yeah. The last, the antecedent to he is Laban. And because by the time, what do you have by the time you get to the end of verse 35? Whose sons?
Yeah, doesn't Jacob have sons?
He does. We meet these sons again at the beginning of chapter 31, and they're Laban's sons. They're identified as Laban's sons.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
So ESV just made it
clear.
Clearer by just
putting this. Yeah. There. Yeah. Yeah. The he refers to Laban. And part of that is because let it be as you have said, and you could be seen as the antecedent for he, and the you refers to Jacob, but yeah, this is referring to Laban. Yeah. So he removes all the multicolored lambs and goats. I'm sorry, all the multicolored goats and all the black lambs. He gives them to his sons, and then he puts. He tells his sons to go off 3 days so that there's no mixture. Because if there's mixture amongst the flock, well then, what are those speckled and spotted and multicolored goats and black sheep, what are they going to give birth to most likely? Yeah, same kind. So they're going to belong to Jacob. So Laban is setting this up so that all that he has is all that Jacob. There's no way there's going to be any kind of mixing on the pasture grounds.
Which is what Jacob
was going to do, but he wasn't going to do it this way. Laban makes a decision: give it to my sons, and then they go away for 3 days. This a 3 day journey, so that there's no interaction between the two. That ends up being a problem. For that works against Laban because now Jacob is actually on his own out there. So when he does these breeding practices and he makes the decision about the stronger and the weaker and all that stuff, there's no oversight. There's no like one of Laban's sons going to Laban saying, hey, Jacob, I mean, technically he's not doing anything wrong, but you should probably know about this, that he is kind of stacking the deck as far as the weaker and the stronger go, but there's no oversight there. And it also, when Jacob decides to leave, it also makes it easier for him to leave. So Laban's scheme to separate the flocks ends up working against him twice over. Okay, so Jacob pastures the rest of Laban's flock. Notice that it does say Laban's flock. So what Jacob has is Laban's flock. And so he's working for Laban, but his wages are going to be these multicolored sheep, goats and the black sheep. Okay, so that's the middle, and now we're coming back out. How does this all resolve? Then Jacob took fresh sticks of Laban and almond and plane trees and peeled Laban streaks in them, exposing the white on the sticks. So I put the Laban in there to show you Jacob is Labaning these sticks. Okay? He's doing a Laban against Laban and exposing the white of the sticks. Now this almond does share the consonants for luz. Does anybody recognize Luz from Jacob's history?
Isn't that one of the places he stayed?
Yes. Which place?
Luz.
Yes. What happened there?
I don't remember.
But so where's the only place that Laban, that we know about that Jacob stayed on his way to Haran?
Bethel.
Yeah. And Bethel used to be called Luz, right? House of God, all of that. And so there's kind of there's another just verbal echo here in the use of almond trees as part of this scheme of like, hey, this is crazy, but just think about, remember what God said he was going to do. And this is the way that God's going to do it. He's going to do this crazy thing, or he's going to go along with Jacob's crazy idea. I suppose the widest sticks. He set the sticks that he had peeled in front of the flocks and the troughs, that is the watering places where the flocks came to drink. So these watering places for Jacob being an important thing back in chapter 28 or 29 as now kind of comes full circle. Hey, look at this. He's going to increase his wealth through the use of watering places where the flocks came to drink. And since they bred, when they came to drink, the flocks bred in front of the sticks. And so the flocks brought forth striped, speckled, and spotted. So it's this, the flocks bred in front of the sticks. So does anybody else have so in their translation there? It's in verse 39. The flocks bred.
And so the flocks brought forth.
Yeah.
So
what do you guys have?
And
the flocks brought forth. So
the flocks.
Yeah. So the so ESV is making the link even more obvious there. So I assume LSB here goes, the flocks bred in front of the sticks. And the flocks brought forth striped or something like that. Is that what it says? So that and, it's clear, the association is clear by the and. The breeding practice or the breeding place brings about this breeding result. The ESV just says, hey, these two are joined together. Which is nuts, it's crazy. And if you read in the historical background of this passage, other people are going to say, yeah, this is crazy. This shouldn't have worked. So it's not like this is how ancient people actually thought things happened. Nothing like that. Nothing at all. And that's where the Labaning and the Luz and all of this is coming back. If you will do this, like Jacob, Moses, without saying it, Moses is saying, Jacob's relying on God to bless him. And just so everybody knows that it's God who's blessing him, he does the craziest thing ever in doing this. Look at these sticks while you mate. I mean.
So Jacob's out here whittling.
Yeah.
And the flocks are just like.
Right, exactly. I mean, that's exactly it. That's a great way to put it. He's like, he's just whittling sticks. And look, his the blessing is just pouring on him. Like, I mean, you really want to be Jacob because you get away with everything. So that's what happens. And then Jacob separated the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the striped and the black in the flock of Laban. So what Jacob does now is he takes the lambs. These are the ones that are solid color, okay? So the solid color lambs, he sets them not toward the sticks, but toward alternating the striped and the black in the flock. So it's not just the sticks, like the goats are looking at the sticks. The lambs are looking at the alternating of the striped and the black. So he's doing the same thing with animals that he did with sticks. And so this is one of those things like, okay, this is, remember the rule of the two or three witnesses? By two or three witnesses, a matter is established. This crazy thing is working. That's what this is saying. It's working. Like what Jacob intends to do here, the outcome that he intends to produce here is working. And he's done it in two different ways. With the trees with the sticks and with the flock itself. So the sheep are just looking at these multicolored alternating animals in front of them as they mate, and the outcome for them is these rare animals. You see that? Yes? No?
Yeah, but I'm confused. Like, is it just my misunderstanding of how it's phrased? For it's a stripe and all the black in the flock of Laban. Like, Laban shouldn't have any stripe or black because those should have been taken out.
So So this is going. That's a good point. The entirety. I think this is a way to talk about the entirety of the flock that belonging to Laban, and so this is still talking about like that first, maybe going into subsequent generations or whatever. But how Jacob is using the initial flock, and from the flock there would have been, or from the breeding there would have been solid color animals come. So Jacob is using those that belong to Laban. He's using those to against Laban. So it's kind of confusing, but the way that it's phrased, the way that it's written in Hebrew, it just talking about the alternation, and this is happening at Laban's expense. Like, Laban is paying the cost for this. Jacob is not working for Laban. He's technically working for Laban, but he's Laban's the one on the wrong end of this. So yeah, I can understand why that would be. He put his own droves apart and did not put them with Laban's flock. So again, Laban's flock is the one. It's the initial one, all the solid colored ones, and then the any that are born from the breeding, Jacob separates those out. And so now Jacob is making he's got enough of the spotted and the speckled to have his own flock.
And then he can like sell them and get different bloodlines in himself.
Perhaps, yeah. It doesn't say anything about trading or anything like that.
I'm just wondering how they kept it from being so inbred. This is not important. I mean, there's probably a lot of them.
Yeah.
It says that Laban, where did it say? It was like spread abundant out. Blessing. Under these 14 years, like, probably a lot.
Yeah, so Laban, there's a big flock to begin with. But then the initial births from that first round of mating that was abundant too. There are plenty of breeding or mating options or whatever, I guess. But this would also imply having two different flocks. So Laban's flock and Jacob's flock. This brings in where the male servants come in. And so he's able to hire or buy servants, other shepherds. To be doing his work. So here's an indication of how well things are going for him. And so now the two flocks don't interact. Now you technically have three flocks, right? The one that's with the brothers or with the sons 3 days away, and then these two under Jacob's care.
So this isn't in here, but just my thought process. Like, so if Laban's flock gave birth to solid colored animal, would he return that to Laban? Because he said, you know, if you go through my flocks and you find anything that mm-hmm. should be there, consider stolen.
Yeah. I think with that, that's a reference to the first time through.
Okay.
With the first separation to start it off at zero, that's so Laban, after I do this, when you come, you can make sure I don't have any spotted or speckled in there. Yeah. So after that, you'd have a whole mixture. And so what he's done now is he's put Laban's over there, and so now that he has a good flock of all these multicolored animals, they're just going to town, and the normal the the normal way of doing things without the sticks is going on.
So then in Jacob's block, he could have a solid white color and not be in trouble. Like once he...
Yeah, I don't know how that would work. He might transfer that over to... Well, yeah, it wouldn't... That would still be considered Laban's. Like, throughout, all of that would be considered Laban's. Anything that's solid color.
Even though it's the firstborns that he already separated into his own flock?
Yeah, because it's still... Because the wages are the multicolored ones.
Okay.
Yeah. Not any that are born from the multicolored ones, but the multicolored ones themselves. No matter how many generations go on. And this goes on, this is happening over the course of 6 years.
That does make it look like less wages.
yeah. So the separate, and then verse 41, now Jacob has this second strategy for his breeding scheme or a second principle. So the first principle was the harebrained one that worked. And now the second principle comes up with the stronger breeding with the stronger, right? So whenever the stronger of the flock were breeding, Jacob would lay the sticks in the troughs before the eyes of the flock that they might breed among the sticks. So the sticks are still playing a role there. But for the feebler of the flock, he would not lay them there. So he's like, not for you, you know. No, you get to just look at the plains, look at the wilderness there, yeah. So that's for the weaker. The stronger would look at the sticks and like base the color of the skin would, or the fur would come out according to what they were looking at. So it's still harebrained, but the stronger with the stronger, that's a good business move, right? Feebler end up going with to Laban. So the feebler would be Laban's and the stronger would be Jacob's. So Jacob has a massive flock that's full of strong animals and Laban has fewer in number and they're puny. They're all weakly and sickly and all of that stuff. And verse 43, this is how the man increased. Thus the man, Jacob, increased greatly and had large flocks, female servants and male servants, and camels and donkeys. So verse 43 just brings it all in. He started penniless. He had nothing to provide for, nothing from which to draw to provide for his family. And now he is
immensely wealthy.
And later on when he's reflecting to God, he says, you know, I crossed over this river, the Jordan, with just my staff, and now look at me, I'm three companies. The flocks, and then my wives and children. And then obviously the household that comes in, female servants, male servants. So, it just works out for Jacob, right? Same way it worked out for Abraham, same way it worked out for Isaac. No matter what obstacles they encounter, God blesses them. And that includes here, Laban trying to do this scheme of like, we're not going to have any mixture, and there's not going to be any hope. I'm going to get more years worth of service from Jacob, and it's going to turn out better for me because of it. And all of this is showing that God's not going to be frustrated in his purposes to bless Jacob. He's not going to be frustrated by that, by anything that Laban does. And then also here, Jacob acts in integrity, like for the first time. Well, actually not for the first time. He acts with integrity in his intent to marry Rachel, and then also his integrity to fulfill the years of service. So while Jacob is outside of the land, he's acting with integrity, and he does so here. He says this is what he's going to do. He does it, and he's blessed, and the result is God's blessing. And then it's harebrained. I mean, it's crazy, and it works out. It doesn't just work out. It's like he won the lottery without even playing the lottery. And this is the nature of God's blessing. So if you're Israel listening to this, like, here's your family history. Look at how many times it could have just... Jacob could have been trampled over in the dust, taken advantage of, and then tried to pull himself up by his own bootstraps, doing this harebrained scheme everybody knows that it's not going to work. And look, it worked. God blessed him.
Is him acting, like doing these stick rituals, doesn't that show him not trusting in God? Like, he has to do something to make this happen because God's not going to.
You could interpret it that way, but I think everything that he does is acting on the promises. Like, he says earlier when Laban and him are going back and forth, Laban, you're blessed because of me. Everywhere I've turned, no matter what I've done, you have been blessed. And so now that he's released from Laban, he's serving Laban, but he's now making money. Is the opportunity to make wealth here. He is applying that. Wherever I turn, whatever I do, the Lord's going to bless. So I don't think that this is Jacob not trusting God. I think it is Jacob trusting God in a crazy way. And it just demonstrates, like, yeah, it wasn't the sticks and it wasn't the alternating animals. It was God. And Jacob's going to acknowledge that here in a few verses when he talks to his wife. So, is that unconvincing? Yeah. You don't think he was trusting God?
No.
What would it look like for him to trust God in this scenario?
Making the deal, I see no trickery, no scheme, but it just seems like he's got this plan of, albeit wild, like I'm not giving him any credit for the plan that he devised, but
not taking any credit away from him. Is that what you're saying? You said not giving him any credit, but did you mean?
Well, not giving him credit, like, hey, this is a good idea.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Like, he was a smart guy.
Yeah.
So,
I got you.
I'm just saying, though, like, he was planning to do something. It's like back when Sarah taking
Hagar,
and like taking, okay, God's promised this, but I need to do something. It hasn't been fulfilled, so I need to take actions to do this. Or,
like, he's grasping for control still.
Yes. So I know God has said this, but I still need to work out the scheme to make it happen.
You may be right. You may be right. Regardless, it doesn't turn out the way that it turned out with Hagar.
Sure.
And Ishmael.
Sure.
So whatever it is, so God does not redeem Sarah's scheme, but whatever it is that Jacob's doing here, he redeems it.
Right. What I'm saying, and I'm not trying to compare the two. I'm just saying there was an example of this.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to link the two together.
Right.
Like that. I'm saying if this is Jacob still trying to work it out on his own, be in control of the situation because he's not trusting. God said it, but I'm not seeing it. Mm. All right, so I'm going to have to do this. But then that, him trying to work it out, and then, as you said, in a little bit, he's going to acknowledge that it was really God.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, hey, you tried, and it was, there's no way it could have worked out. So that could be used to train him to see that, no, God is in control type of thing.
Yeah, yeah. No, I would say that's the lesson that he learns. But I think it's more of a lesson that he's already learning as he's applying.
Okay.
And it's because, like, he recognizes, the reason I say that is because why does he say to Laban, you've been blessed because of me, wherever I've turned. And that sense of wherever I've turned, it doesn't matter if I go to the left or I go to the right, what has resulted for you, Laban, in the last 14 years is increase.
But again, that's me. It's not.
But he's the conduit of blessing for Laban.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Right, okay. So it doesn't matter what Jacob does, God's going to bless.
But that focuses on Jacob himself, not that Yahweh is blessing through Jacob.
Right, like, I think I could see, like, he would just been like, let them mate, and speckled ones are going to come forth. That I got to put these sticks there.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to, like, well, God would just do it.
Yes, but what you were saying back in 26, 27, 28.
Because you know who's tried this? Is some charismatic
30?
Person who says, like, this applies to me.
Yeah, 30. You have Yahweh plus your understanding. Oh, Yahweh. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Did
I
get there?
Think Yahweh was mentioned in there.
Yeah, yeah, no, yeah. The Lord has blessed you wherever I turned.
Okay.
So, yeah, my point is Jacob knows that he's in a position
of
being blessed, no matter what it is.
That's what I'm trying to point out. Like,
yeah.
Don't think he mentions Yahweh. He's just wherever I go. Yeah. Okay. He's still focused on himself, I think.
I think what Jacob's doing here is, I mean, he's doing one of the craziest things ever in order to, in the next chapter, say, the Lord bless me. This worked because the Lord's blessing is upon me. So, because otherwise, like, why not just, like, do a normal, like, well, hey, trust the providence of God, whatever comes out, comes out. But I think, like, if you really want to prove something, then you'll demonstrate it, like, because Laban thinks he's going to get the good end on this. So it's hard. We're having this conversation because Moses doesn't tell us anymore. Like, where did this idea come from, and what was Jacob thinking while he's doing it? Like, none of that. Like, Moses gives us nothing to go off of, and that's why we have the conversation. But I think that's why the mandrake situation is helpful. And then also what Jacob is about to say in the next chapter.
Sure.
Whatever's going on here, the next chapter, God has blessed me. Despite all the things that Laban has done. I wish we had a little bit more, like, but yeah, you're right. So the lesson here is not to go out and cut Laban sticks, and you really want your offspring to be a certain way. Like, don't do that. Jacob can get away with that. So because he's special and you're not. So.
So the mandrake thing, I don't know. It makes sense. Keep going.
I'm done. I'm done.
Can I say something?
I just hope you're not going, like, you tried the mandrakes thing and it didn't work.
No.
Okay, good.
No, Ryan and I asked for children and then God gave them to us. So, but other people aren't that lucky. Like, yeah. I watched Austin and Ricky, the people having the baby, struggle with their infertility for 3 years, and they tried all sorts of things, and they're going to start doing, like, surgery stuff to check up on everything.
Oh, wow.
And sometimes people do get the surgery stuff done and then they do conceive. So I have a hard time sometimes seeing as much as I do in the medical world, thinking that sometimes medicine doesn't help. I don't know.
That medicine doesn't help?
Like, sometimes medicine, like, does help you get pregnant.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, that's undeniable. The question is whether or not, is that the way, what God intends? Because anywhere... the Bible talks about the womb. The fruit of the womb is a gift from the Lord. And where there is no fruit from the womb, God is still at work. He's doing something there. And that's where we take matters into our own hands, using medicine to bring about something that God has not intended for us. That doesn't mean whatever the child that comes from that is not made in the image of God or doesn't have value or anything. And we don't pin anything on the child that's born there, but we do want to instruct, teach, like, you made this decision, the decision is done, like, look, here's the child, or you're pregnant, or whatever, but let's consider just here, moving forward, that's not what God wants.
Do you think it specifically applies to childbearing, or, like, God created our bodies? You can get into that whole argument, is any medicine correct?
So I wouldn't go in the direction of all medicine is bad. I wouldn't go there because there's medicinal purposes in the Proverbs about, you know, don't withhold drink from a man who's dying. Mm-hmm. Like, let him die in peace. Let him die without pain. So there's a medicinal purpose that's going on there. And so wouldn't say that all medicine is out of the question. But when we're talking about reproduction, that's where it's like, have you considered what God might be doing in saying no right now?
We've been lucky enough to be in those shoes. Right, yeah. We've seen many of people.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's tough. And we've got to walk next to them and support them. And also encourage young married couples, who are getting married, like, hey, don't put this off. Like, don't think you got to have it all together. Go out and have kids, because you don't know. If you wait a decade, you don't know if you're going to be able to have kids. So, yeah. Aaron, did you have something?
There was a note in the study Bible saying that in verse 38, the word mated is literally in Hebrew to be hot, or as we say, to be in heat. So the sticks were actually put in the water, the trough, mm-hmm. drinking the water. And it seemed to me like it was more of, this wasn't some superstition, but an actual, perhaps some kind of a practice.
Really?
Mine also says that.
Yeah, well, because you have MacArthur's study Bibles, but I'm confused. I'm confused what the animals being in heat have.
In other words, an attempt to excite the animals to procreate.
So the sticks in the water.
Like trigger ovulation, that way you can.
Oh, I hadn't heard that. Yeah.
I don't get that.
Yeah, I don't get it either, but.
I think you get the nail on the head, though, when you said, like for us, it's important to ask God if there's a reason for the infertility. But otherwise, outside of that, I mean, what's wrong with the creativity that Jacob is utilizing? Because like I said, like as soon as we get into the next chapter, he's giving God the credit
right.
for the success.
Yeah.
And I just think that it doesn't have to be a superstition is all.
Yeah. So it's yeah, okay. The sticks thing doesn't have to be a superstition. Yeah. 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 Yeah, I get that.
Women left confusing if they would just let the sticks out.
Yeah.
Yeah, my favorite passage is favorite part of the passage is the cutting Laban in the sticks. Like, here you go, Laban.
With him.
So that when I was reading it, he was like, wait, that's Laban's name. What does that word mean? And it was great. It's awesome. You check in the commentaries to make sure like you're actually saying what you think you're saying, and a couple of guys are like, yeah, there's a play on words here going on. I'm like, yes, I can run with it. Awesome. Okay. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you that you are so kind to us. You do bless us, not necessarily to the same degree as Jacob experienced, but you do bless us, and we're thankful that you do bless our actions, our efforts, our attempts. And you bring about your blessing. Indeed, you bring about prosperity. Keep us from presuming upon you, assuming that you will do this. Help us to walk before you in integrity. And thank you that your plans are not frustrated by any kind of Laban, and that despite our own. Despite our own episodes of being like Jacob, you still are with us and you're still for us. So we thank you. We thank you for your faithfulness, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.